Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
We praise you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you for all that you're doing amongst us as the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord, for fresh revelation that you give to us day by day, fulfilling your promise that you will continue to make yourself known to us, that the Father's love for the Son would be in us. And we praise you for that, Lord. We want that love for you to be so evident in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you've got a word to speak from your heart to our hearts this morning. So we open up our hearts to hear and receive from you and to respond to your word in the way that will glorify you. We praise your holy name. Amen. Okay, let's be seated. It's a keynote morning, so God wants to take us further on from what he was saying to us last week, especially last Friday, about the Lamb of God. From God's point of view, what do you think the purpose of worship is? All the heavenly host is worshiping him continually. The Spirit of God in our lives is the spirit of worship, encouraging us to worship him. But why? Surely God is not on some personality kick of his own where he just wants everyone to praise and exalt him, although that is what he's worthy of. There must be some other purpose than simply to give him the praise and honor and glory that he deserves. We could never give him enough, could we, what he deserves. Let's turn to John chapter 15. Now, this, I think, is the key passage, really, in the whole of the Bible, because everything that Jesus was doing in relation to the disciples was leading up to this revelation that he's giving them at the Last Supper before he goes to the cross. He says in verse 4, "Remain in me, abide in me, continue to live in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Then in verse 7, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends
if you do what I command you. Now, in those verses, you've got the answer to the question, what is the purpose of worship? As you all immediately realized, of course. What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about fellowship. Now, fellowship is the sharing of life. And first of all, he's talking about the fellowship that we have with him, and then the fellowship we are to have with one another. Now, the word fellowship means the sharing of life. And why this is such a revolutionary passage, really, is that while Jesus was on earth in human form, he had fellowship with his disciples at a certain level. They could know him in the flesh as a person, humanly. But of course, he was about to be taken from them. He would go to the cross and then be raised and then return to heaven. So now they were to have an entirely different form of fellowship. And in that fellowship, they would live in him and he would live in them, which was a much closer form of fellowship than Jesus being with them. So he was saying, you should rejoice that I'm going away, because something even more wonderful is about to happen. He that is with you is going to be within you. So Jesus came to share in the life of human beings. He became thoroughly human, shared in the life not only of the disciples, but of all the people there in the land. And his purpose was that in sharing his life with them, they would then be able to share their lives with him. A mutual thing would happen. And what Jesus is saying to the disciples at this point is that purpose, the purpose for which I came, is about to be fulfilled. That you're going to have a much closer fellowship, sharing of my life than you've ever had in the past. It must have been wonderful to be with Jesus during his earthly ministry, but Jesus is quite emphatic that something is about to happen that will be even more wonderful than being with them or with him in his ministry, because he is going to come and live in them. Now, why should God want us to live in him and he in us? The answer, of course, is because he wants fellowship with us. He wants to share our lives, and he's making it clear that it's to be a fellowship in love. Now, of course, the interesting thing is, as we saw on Friday morning especially, everything that happens in the heavenly places between now and when Jesus comes again, everything is focused around the activity of Jesus. What he is doing as the Lamb of God. And as we went through all those scriptures from Revelation, we see that everything is focused on the Lamb. So the remarkable thing is that this Lamb that is on the throne, this Lamb that is worthy of all worship, of all glory, of all honor and praise, this Lamb is the one in whom we live. And this Lamb is the one who lives in us by the power of his Spirit. That although he is so high and mighty and greater and above all that we could ever be, his desire is to have fellowship with us. Now, you wonder why that should be. Why, of all the billions of people in humanity, should God have chosen you and, in effect, said, I want you to have fellowship with me. I want you to share my life so that I can share your life. So every time we worship, we are in some sense expressing fellowship with him. How can we have fellowship in worship? Well, because it's the only way to fellowship with God, really. Because Jesus is so much greater, so much higher, so much holier, so much more wonderful than we are, the only way in which we can really have fellowship with him is to praise him and worship him and glorify his holy and wonderful name. But you see, in his purposes, the more that we draw near to him, to his throne in worship, the more he is able to have fellowship with us on a day-by-day, even minute-by-minute basis. So this is why in the Epistle to Hebrews, we are bidden, we're invited to come near to the throne of God, draw near with faith, with sincere hearts and full assurance of faith. He wants us right there on the throne. Why? Because if he wants fellowship with us, he wants us close to him. And because he is seated on the throne, the only way to be close to him is to worship him. Are we getting this? And the more our hearts are filled with worship, the closer our walk with him becomes. You can be quite sure that when a Christian is living in disobedience, there's not much worship in his heart. Oh, he might come to a meeting, he might go to a service, and because everybody else is praising, he would join in the praise. But outside of that, he will not be enjoying close fellowship. Because that worship is really an indication of how close his fellowship with God is at any given point. Even people in worship teams, they know how to worship. They know the mechanics of worship. They can even know the mechanics of how to lead people in worship. They can do a job, if you like, at that level. But what is really important, if there is to be anointing on the worship, is that those leaders are in the place of worship themselves. Not just the leader, but all the musicians need to be in the place of worship. I think nothing is worse than looking up at a platform, seeing people playing instruments, but there's no sense of worship. You just don't see them worshiping. You just see them playing instruments. And you think, well, wait a minute, this is missing the whole point. Because even if you're playing instruments, you're supposed to be having fellowship with the one you're worshiping. And you can't have fellowship with the one you're worshiping if you're just standing there strumming or whatever else, you know, on the keyboard. So it's always refreshing when you see everybody on the platform worshiping. Because you know, right, they're in a good place with God. You know, we had a particular move of worship some years ago. I've sort of mentioned it, never spoken much about it. I'm not going to this morning. But at that time, Pastor Gary was actually the worship pastor. And nobody was allowed on that platform either to play an instrument or to sing unless they were in a good, right relationship with God. And therefore, with one another. And that was one of the reasons why that move of worship was so powerful. Because everybody was in the right place of fellowship with him. And that's why the The praise sometimes just took off for hours, and the people wouldn't have known actually whether the people on the stage were playing instruments or not, because they were so engaged with God. They were having fellowship with God. They were meeting with God. So whenever we come in here for an 8 o'clock, what we need to realize is, yes, we are coming to worship the Lord because He wants fellowship with us. Now, what you have to understand is His love for you is much greater than your love for Him. Can we all agree on that? Okay. So that means His desire for fellowship with you is greater than your desire for fellowship with Him. He longs to be close to you far more than you long to be close to Him. So His Spirit is always drawing you into an ever closer place of relationship and unity with Him. So it's great, so important, that we worship the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne. But at the same time, realizing this is the one in whom we live and who lives in us. So it's significant that the Holy Spirit was not given until Jesus was glorified. You remember that John explains what Jesus meant in chapter 7 of his gospel, when on the last greatest day of the feast, he cried out, "Come to me, all who are thirsty," and so on. And he explained that the living water that Jesus spoke of was the Holy Spirit, who was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. You see, the Lamb of God had to be glorified and in the center of the throne before His Spirit could be poured out upon those disciples and, of course, all subsequent believers. So what God wanted for us to have in the Spirit, or through the Spirit working in us, was fellowship with the Lamb of God. This Lamb of God who takes away all our sins and therefore makes it possible for us to be one with Him. This Lamb of God who has become our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. This Lamb who has made us perfectly acceptable before Him and before the Father, with whom He is enthroned in heaven. So, you know, worship isn't mindlessly singing or just drollering away in the Spirit for a while. It's engaging with the one we're worshiping. That's His purpose, always. And many, many Christians, I think, are getting deceived in these days because they think that the climax of worship, the best, if you like, that you can do, is to have a sense of the holy presence of God. But that's only the holy place. It's not the holy of holies. See, the reason why you get the sense of the presence of God when you worship is not so that you can worship the presence and say, "Oh, hallelujah, we're in the presence of God. That was a good time of worship. The presence of God was there." No, no, no. The presence of God is there to enable us to have fellowship with Him. So it's what happens in your relationship with Jesus when His presence is revealed, or even if His presence is not revealed. What is happening in your relationship with Him so that you are having fellowship with Him? This is what He desires. You see, if you love You want to be with those you love. It happens to be my wedding anniversary today, and we've been married now for 53 years. We love to be together because we love one another. That, if you like, is living in fellowship with one another. Of course, in marriage is a different level from other relationships. But still, as far as a Christian marriage is concerned, the husband and wife are to be in fellowship. Not just enjoying their marriage, but they share their lives with one another. So I share my life with Caroline, she shares her life with me. And that, of course, is the essence of fellowship. And if you see there is love, those relationships, whatever relationships, endure. Doesn't matter what tests come, what situations arise, the love that you have for one another, the fellowship that you have with one another, carries you through every kind of test. Now, if that is true just at a human level, how much more is it true at the spiritual level in our relationship with God? That because of our unity with Him, it doesn't matter what testing situations arise, that love, that unity that we have with Him will always carry us through. So you see, the scripture says that He is always working for our good because we love Him and have been called according to His purpose. Now, what do you think His purpose is? That He would use you, that you would bear much fruit? Yes, that's what Jesus was talking about. But you see, before that, He makes it very clear that that fruitfulness is going to come out of your fellowship with Him, that you live in Him and He lives in you. So God's first and foremost purpose in your life is to develop your fellowship with Him. Because whatever is going to happen in your relationships with others is going to be dependent upon your fellowship with Him. And whatever fruit you're going to bear in whatever ministry God leads you into in the future is going to come out of your unity, of your fellowship with Him. So in prayer, in worship, this is always God's first and foremost purpose, to develop that fellowship. See, the point is this. If you have fellowship with someone who is so much greater than you are, not only will you be moved to worship, but you will depend upon Him. That the closer your fellowship with Him, the deeper your relationship with Him, the greater your trust in Him. Because you know that you are yoked with the one who is so much greater. Do you remember that's one of the descriptions Jesus used? Take my yoke upon you. Now, when you are yoked, if you've ever seen, you know, some oxen yoked together, for example, they have to move together. They can't go in different directions. So Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you. I want you to be yoked with me. And then he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, if you're yoked with Jesus, He is going to take the pressure. He is going to really be the one who will support us. We're sort of carried along with Him, yoked together with Him. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. This shows just the kind of relationship that God wants us to have with Him. And then you see, immediately Jesus has talked about living in Him and He in us. He talks about this new covenant command, you are to love one another as I have loved you. In other words, out of his great love for us, there is going to come love for one another. Out of fellowship with him, there will come fellowship with one another. When Christians separate and there's division, always the crisis is actually not so much their relationship with one another, but their lack of relationship with God, their lack of obedience to what God is saying. Instead of working through their issues and working through their problems, they take matters into their own hands and they walk away. You can't love people by walking away from them. Are you with me? So, just as if we ever have issues with God, or he has issues with us, they are going to get worked out in our fellowship with him. So also, this is to be true of our relationship with one another. It isn't that we relate to one another simply out of obedience to a command, but because this same love that the Father has for Jesus, Jesus has for us, and we are to have for one another. This is what Jesus is saying in this passage. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And because I have loved you, you are to love one another. Everything is focused around this love. But we know it's not an emotional love. It's a love that is based upon seeking the welfare of those who you love. So the reason why Jesus wants to have fellowship with you is because in his love, he seeks your welfare. He seeks your best. He always wants the best for you because you're his beloved child. There can never be a situation in your life where God does not want his best for you. Any loving father always wants the best for his children, doesn't he? But in our love for one another, we therefore want the best for the others. And as we're called to love, you know, all those that are around us, we're not allowed to be selective. Then we want the welfare of everybody that God calls us to love. This love is so amazing, Jesus even says, love your enemies with this love. Seek the welfare of your enemies. Because they're only your enemies because they're not in a good place with God. Or they're not in a good place with others. So in seeking their welfare, I tell you, if anybody's giving you a hard time, the best thing to do is to keep praying for them. Not in judgment, oh Lord, you know, smite them down or let them see what a grievous thing they're doing in coming against me. No. Pray for their well-being. Praying for them to be in a place with God where he will be exalted in their lives. So, you know, Jesus says, not only love your enemies, he said, pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who are giving you a hard time. Why? Because our response in any and every situation is to be that of love. Faith working through love. But that faith, you see, leads us to obedience to what God is saying. That love leads us to obedience. They both lead to the same direction. I'm going to read couple of sections from My Dear Child. This is an amazing book. I always say I didn't really write this. The Holy Spirit wrote it. And it's had such a profound effect upon so many people. But I'm not here to promote the book. I'm just going to read from it. Anybody with any wisdom will have bought the book and used it. He says in all humility, because he did not write the book. I'm serious about that. I had 3 weeks with the Lord out of which he really dictated these things. Right, listen to this. Do you know what I like to give you? This is God speaking to us, speaking to you as his child. Do you know what I like to give you? And yet what you have been most afraid of? People. You see, I love people. I draw my children together in genuine unity. You can be thankful for the friends I have given you. I want to give you relationships in which you can know my love and unity. I am present in a very special way among those who love me. I have many more people to give to you in the coming years. You can show how much I care for those I bring across your path. You can speak my word into their lives. Others I will bring into your experience as ambassadors of my love for you. Sometimes others attack and hurt you. I don't want this. But I forgive you when you hurt others, don't I? And I forgive them when they hurt you. So I want you to forgive them. I won't forgive you if you refuse to forgive others. When you forgive, I am present to heal the hurts inflicted on you by others. Do you remember when it seemed everybody turned against you? You thought the enemy was working through everyone. You hardly knew which way to turn, did you? So you turned to me and I saw you through. I provided for you, precious child. Those past hurts do not seem nearly as significant now, do they? I am still undoing the effects, their effects, so you can walk in greater liberty. I like the way you are learning to have real faith about the future, to expect good things. You are not so afraid of the people you meet and the way in which you have to relate to them. This is good, real evidence of my work. You have been able to trust me this far, so trust me for the future. This is quite a thought, isn't it? That what God wants to give you more than anything else is people. Not things, not healing, not provision, but people. Why? Because he is love. And because he is love, he has given you Jesus. He's given you the best person. But he also wants to give you others to love you and for you to love them. And in the midst of all this, he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." I can identify with what God was saying in that passage because I used to find it very, very difficult to relate to people because of insecurities in my own life. Living in community and in really close fellowship with a whole lot of people soon dealt with that. But you see, in many ways, this is what God is dealing with you here, the way that we are to love one another and be in unity with one another if you're on the team or resident here as students. All the others around you are God's gift to you. Even the ones you don't quite know how to handle at this moment, because God will do something in you that will enable you to relate to them when you get through whatever you find difficult at this moment. This is the love of God. Fellowship with him, fellowship with one another. trusting Him, coming to a place where we can trust one another, being at one with Him, and therefore being at one with one another. So, all worship is about love for God and one another. See, it means nothing to God if we are singing great songs of worship, but we're not loving others. John says in his first epistle, the one who says, I love God, but does not love his brother, is a liar. He's deceived, and the truth is not in him. For if you do not love your brother who you can see, you cannot love God who you do not see. Now, that's pretty straightforward talking, isn't it? But you see, what is our spiritual worship? That we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Not our voices, but we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him, which is our spiritual worship. So we give of ourselves to have fellowship with Him and fellowship with others. And in that whole relationship of love, God is able to work out His purpose in our lives so that we bear much fruit for the glory and honor of His name. Worship is relationship. It's not a performance. I don't know whether I told you this, but a little while ago I was doing a radio program up in London. And it was a live program, you know, one of these breakfast shows that goes on for an hour or more. And I was sort of the guest being interviewed, and then there was bits of music in between and things like that. The programs people listen to in the car going to work and so on. So they have a big listening audience. And we were having a great time. And the guy who was doing the interview, who's a well-known Christian, I won't mention any names, he, in one of the breaks while the music was going on, he said to me, you know, it's so refreshing to hear people just wanting to glorify Jesus in the way that you're speaking. He says, because I'm fed up with interviewing one worship leader after another, and all they're interested in is their songs, their worship, their ministry, promoting themselves. And I'm sick to the teeth with it. It's so good that somebody actually wants to exalt Jesus. And this is what has happened. Not everywhere, but in some parts of the worship thing. The worship has become an end in itself. Instead of people understanding, look, it's not about the songs. It's not about selling CDs and all the rest of it. It's about fellowship with Jesus. It's about love for Jesus. It's about being united with Him in love so we can love one another and fulfill the purposes of God and bear much fruit for the glory of His name. So, there's nothing wrong in having worship CDs, don't misunderstand me, and nothing wrong in promoting those. But that's not the purpose of worship or of having a worship ministry. It's to live in fellowship with God and to be drawing others into fellowship with Him. Not just have a good time of worship, but be drawing them into fellowship, the sharing of life. Now, I'm going to read another passage before we finish. And you might think at first, what has this got to do with what I've been talking about? This passage is entitled, Enjoy Being You. There are many ways in which I have needed to come deep into your life, to liberate you from fear of displeasing me. This is fear of yourself, really. You have been very afraid of yourself, haven't you, child? Can you see the work I am doing in you now to liberate you from that fear? How can you enjoy being you if you are afraid of yourself? Precious child, thank you for letting me love you. Thank you for letting me come deep into those secret places. You don't understand all that I am doing in you. That doesn't matter. It's enough to know I understand you, that I heal you and make you whole. Your days of hiding from me are over, aren't they? You don't need to do that anymore, do you? Oh, my dear, dear child, there have been many times when I have longed to give to you, but you have kept yourself out of my reach. How it pleases me that you no longer do that. Not only do you allow me to touch your life with my love, but you really want me to. This is a sign of great change in you. You are beginning to trust my love, aren't you, child? You're beginning to see that there is no need to fear. I always have your best interests at heart, and every touch of my spirit of love is making you more holy. I love you, child. There is a sweetness about my peace, isn't there? Have you noticed that you are now able to cope with situations which previously would have caused turmoil within you? This is because you are beginning to see things my way. You have begun to listen to my voice rather than the enemy. In a very gentle way, I have moved in your heart so that you yield more fully to me than before. That's good. You can encourage others to open themselves to me, to come deeply into the arms of my love, to receive from me. That will register, especially with some of you, perhaps more than others. But you see, how can we really love God in the way that He wants and love others if we're afraid of love, afraid to love? Because actually, we are so self-conscious because of certain ways in which we view ourselves. That's why God has to give us a right perspective on ourselves as well as a right perspective on Him and a right perspective on the others around us. I wrote this. We used to have a flat that we rented about half an hour from here in the countryside. It was part of a big house. And it was an ideal place to go away and pray or to go away and write. I actually went away for 3 weeks and wrote that, just waiting on God and getting various messages, which would relate to different kinds of people in different situations. There's one, for example, about those who are contemplating suicide, and I've had letters from people that have read that and who were about to commit suicide and did not because they read what God said. So, hallelujah. But there was one occasion when I was there writing with the Lord, not actually when I was writing this, when God said to me, you know, whenever He speaks, He's always got a purpose behind what He says. And He said, Colin, I love you. Well, that's why I felt fairly safe there. I said, yes, Lord. Thank you. I know you love me. Then He said, I like you. And I said nothing. And And he said, your problem is you don't like yourself. So things got a little bit more uncomfortable, because obviously he was getting at something. And he said several other things. And then, to crown it all, he said, Colin, I enjoy you. That was too much. At that point, I got up and went into the kitchen to make a cup of coffee. But you see, God doesn't always play fair, because he followed me into the kitchen. And while I was making the coffee, he went on speaking. He said, you have children. I thought I had to agree because he knows everything. So I said, yes, yes, Lord. He said, do you enjoy your children? I said, yes, Lord. He said, when did you begin to enjoy them? Well, even before they were born, Lord. I was praying for them. And ever since they were born, I've enjoyed them. So, have they always been perfect? No, Lord. Have they always done what you wanted? No, Lord. But you still enjoy them. Yes. You enjoy them because they're your children. So why can't you understand that in my love for you, I enjoy you? Because enjoying you has got nothing to do with what you do, but it's got everything to do with my heart towards you. I don't enjoy you only when you're obedient. I don't enjoy your disobedience. I don't enjoy any sin in your life, but I enjoy you because you're my child. Something changed in my life that day. As a result of that, he was absolutely right. I've never enjoyed being me. Until that moment, God sort of broke something in me that day. But you see, this is the point. Everything in relation to you does not depend upon you. It depends upon him and his love for you. That because you're his child, he loves you, he enjoys you, he wants to bless you, he wants to give to you. And yes, he wants you to be in right relationship with him so that you are able to receive all that he wants to give. And that's why worship and prayer is so important. Because you see, it's in worship and prayer that we have fellowship with him. We are expressing our unity with him, and he can really explode into our lives in the way that he wants. In a way that doesn't happen if you just sit on a chair and try to meditate. You can, it's good. Meditation is good. Having quiet times with the Lord is good. But worship, coming before him, engaging with him, meeting with him as he sits on the throne, that does something that can't be done in any other way, to build fellowship with him. So he enjoys you and he enjoys your worship when that worship really comes from the heart and is expressing your love for him. So worship is never a duty. Prayer is never a duty. We look forward to our worship times. We look forward to prayer times because we're looking forward to fellowship with him. Because we love him. You wouldn't want to miss your time with him. As some of you have been around, I know I've heard this before, but there's always the first year you haven't. But there was a time when God really taught me this years and years ago when I was still in Luton. Last thing at night, I always took the dog for a walk, and then I'd lock up the church building because it was left open till late at night because it was used all day long in the revival. People were in and out using the church. So on this particular night, I was really tired. I mean, my days would always start at 6 o'clock in the morning and go through to about 11 or 12 at night. And I'd had really, really stressful few days, you know, really busy few, stressful in the sense of being busy. I was really, really tired. And it was my practice just to go into the church and spend a few minutes with the Lord, thanking him for the day and for all that he had done. And my dog was a very, very Christian dog. He always lay down beside me and said his prayers every night. So he would have a good night's sleep. But on this occasion, I sort of stuck my head around the door just to make sure there was nobody still in the building. And I said, "Lord, you know how tired I am. I'm sure you won't mind if I just go straight to bed tonight." As clear as anything, the Holy Spirit said to me, "Come in and sit down." So, you know, you learn if you're really going to follow the Spirit, you have to obey, don't you? So I went in and sat down, and the Lord said to me, "Colin, do you realize that if you don't have this time with me, I will miss you?" And I felt, you know, about that high. I said, "How can you miss me?" He said, "I will miss this time of fellowship." So it doesn't matter how tired you are. Just give me these moments of fellowship. What amazing love. How could the creator of the universe miss me? Because he loves me. Because he wants fellowship with me. More than I want fellowship. I was saying, "I'm too tired to have fellowship with you tonight." And the Father was saying, "Well, I'm not too tired to have fellowship with you, so come and sit down." What amazing love. What astonishing love. We love because that's really what it's all about, just understanding how great, how deep, how high, how long is the love of God for you. It passes all knowledge. Amazing. Amazing love. Never can there be a moment of time when God doesn't hold you in. No matter what is happening, no matter what's going on, always he holds you in that. So an important element of our worship is thanksgiving. Come through the gate of thanksgiving into the courts of praise. Thanking him especially for that amazing, wonderful, wonderful love. You can never doubt the Lord's love for you, can you? In love he's called you, in love he's chosen you. In love he's come to live in you, in love he died for you. In love he's taken you to live in himself. In love he's made you one with him. In love he pours out his Holy Spirit into your life. In love, he's blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. In love, he forgives you. In love, he sustains you. In love, he provides for you. In love, he enables you. In love, he enables you to fulfill his command to love others as he has loved you. It's all about his love, isn't it? And that's what worship is about, really. Enjoying that fellowship of love. So let's stand up and come into the middle and just express that love. Thank the Lord for that love and express our praise, our worship. Are you thankful for that love? I said, are you thankful for that love?
Yeah.
Come on then, let him, tell him. Don't think it, tell him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Popara santara basataria letu bakala sitri santi. It's a bit too quiet, really. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now let's just have a time of thanksgiving. Just hear the Lord saying to you, my child, I love you. I love you. Just respond. Don't just stand there thinking. Respond. And he says, I like you. Even though some of you don't like yourselves, don't like certain things about yourself, I like to have fellowship with you. Because the more you have fellowship with me, the more I am able to deal with all those things that you don't like. I am able to change and transform you in my love. He's saying, I want the best for you. In my love, I want the best for you. I always desire the best for you. Can you respond to that? Can you thank the Lord? Can you hear him say, I enjoy you because you're my beloved child. I enjoy you. Doesn't mean he enjoys all you do, all you think, or all you say, but he enjoys you. Because you're his beloved child. Can you thank him? In his love, he enjoys you being his child. He wanted you. He adopted you. He made that decision. He loves you so much. He wants you to be in fellowship with him for all eternity, not just for the rest of your life, but for all eternity. He's even gone before to prepare a place for you. There's a place reserved for you in heaven. Because he loves you so much, I've reserved your place. He's saying, I've reserved your place. And I love you now. I want the best for you now. I'm enjoying you now. And I want you to enjoy me. I want you to enjoy me. I want you to enjoy worshiping me. I want to enjoy your times of prayer. I want you to enjoy walking in loving obedience to what I ask of you. I want you to enjoy fellowship with others. I want you to enjoy loving one another. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full.
I want you to be a child of joy because you're a child of love. Are you thanking him? Isn't he amazing? Isn't he amazing? See, this is not talking emotionally. He's talking to us in the spirit. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. The Lamb has made you one with himself through his precious blood. Can you praise him for that blood? Can you thank him for that blood? That blood covers all the things he doesn't like, all the things that he doesn't enjoy you doing and saying. That blood washes those things away so that he can enjoy you and he can express his love for you, that he can give to you and pour out his riches upon you. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Let's thank him. Oh, Lord, 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 Lord. You are so, so good. So, so wonderful. So, so blessed. Pupara santara basutaba. Balatapari aleroba kalasitaba. Now, thank him for his most important gift to you, apart from himself, of course, the gift of people. Thank him that he's given you people. Don't have to be afraid of those he's given you. Hallelujah. Perfect love casts out all fear, yes? Thank him for the people that he's given to love you, to bless you, to help you, to serve you. Hallelujah. To lead you, to encourage you, to teach you. Just thank God. They're his gift to you. All of them are his gift to you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Now, thank him for all the peoples he's given you, people he's given you to love. Amen. But all those who love you, you are to love them. Yes. Thank you, Lord. You've given me all these people to love. You've given me all those around me, all those that cross my path day by day to express your love. To love them as you have loved me. Thank you, Lord. Are you just as thankful that you have to love them as well as? Come on, sound thankful then. Thank you, Lord. And thank him for the spirit of love that is in your heart. God has poured his love into your heart by the Holy Spirit according to the word of God. So you have his love in you to enable you to love others with his love. Not just with your love, not just with your emotions or things like that, but his love working through you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Poparazandaria letupa kalasitri santuma. Bustakalaria letupa kalasitri santara pazotaba. Barastakalaria letupa kalasitri santa. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Porataparia letupa kalasitri santaria letupa kalasanduma. Wonderful, wonderful Lord. Wonderful, wonderful Lord. Can heaven hear you? Are you praying loudly enough for heaven to hear you? Paparazandaria letupakala sitari sandam. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Paparazandaria letupakala sitari sandama. Oh, paparazarabaria letupa. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Paparazandaria letupakala sitabalandama. Okay, now. Just thank the Lord that he wants fellowship with you every day. Hallelujah. Fellowship in worship, fellowship in prayer, fellowship in your walk with him. He wants you to walk at one with him. So thank him that he's giving you a fresh understanding of worship this morning. Times of fellowship with the one that you're worshiping, sharing in his life. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Praise your wonderful, wonderful name. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Papara sandaria lero bakala sita di sanduma. O papara sandaria lero bakala sita di santo. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can he hear you? Can he hear your heart of love? Can he hear your heartbeat? Listen to his heartbeat, because his heartbeat is always love. My love, my love for you, my love for you, my love for you. That's his heartbeat. Is your heartbeat in tune with his heartbeat? Oh, Lord, Lord, thank you. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness have I drawn you. For you are precious and honored in my sight, and I love you. Hallelujah. These are scriptures. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, some of you might have been surprised that I said that God wants you to love yourself. Well, didn't he give a command? You are to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So God wants you to love being you. Not somebody else. Not wishing you were somebody else. Not even wishing you were like somebody else. It's you he loves. It's you he called. It's you he chose. He died for you because he loves you. So he's not saying love yourself in the sense of being selfish and putting yourself before others. Totally the opposite. But have that security so that you are free to love others as he has loved you. And Lord, I just pray now for your healing grace to be at work in people all over this room where there's been a lack of love for themselves because they focused on things about themselves that they can see are not yet perfected, not yet right. But thank you, Lord, that still you love them, still you like them, still you enjoy them. And Lord, I enjoy being me now. Hallelujah. Even though I see so much more that you need to work in me. But I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you have delivered me and saved me from negative views about myself, about others. So I don't have to judge myself. I don't have to judge others. You say, I'm not to judge anyone, and that includes myself. I can't judge myself even. Hallelujah, because all judgment belongs to you. So I praise you, Lord. I bless you. Come on, let's lift our hands and really exalt the Lord now. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice now. Lift your voice and praise him. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Paralaba sandaria, lero bakala sitri sandama. O papara sandaria, lero bakala sitri sandama. O papapakala sandaria, lero bakala sitri sandama. O papara sandaria, lero bakala sitri sandama. O papara sarabari alero bakara sitri sandama. O papara sandari alero bakara sitri sandama. O papara sandari alero bakara sitri sandari alero bakara sinama. O papara sandari alero bakara sitri sandama. O papara sandari alero bakara sinama. O papara sandari alero bakara sitri sandama. O papapakala sandari alero bakara sitri sandama. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, just gladden the heart of Jesus now. Gladden his heart. Just please him with your worship, with your praise. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. It is so wonderful to have fellowship with you. So wonderful to be one with you. So wonderful to be able to come right before your throne. So wonderful to be able to meet with you. Daily, Lord, thank you that you never shut the door in our face, because you have opened up the way and we can come to you whenever we choose, wherever we choose. And we bless you that the way is always open because you are the way. Praise your holy name. Bless your holy name. Kuralaba sandaria leruba kalasidaba. O papara sadabaria leruba kalasidaba. O papara sandaria leto bakala sitri sandama. O papara sandaria leto bakala sitri sandama. O ras sandaria leto bakala sita palando. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Lord. Para bakala sinama. So Lord, I thank you that today and every day we can walk in love for you, love for one another, the right kind of love for ourselves. Thank you, Lord, we can have fellowship with you. Not just now as we pray, but all day long we can walk with you, live at one with you, and we praise you, we bless you, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, we can love one another. Love all those around us, those you've given us. Thank you that people are your precious gift to us. Thank you, Lord, for all the others that you've planned in the years ahead will come and cross our path, and we will have the opportunity to love them and bless them and serve them and give to them. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you. I'm thankful. Are you thankful? Yeah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.